The Social Geeks is a Spike Studio production. It's The Social Geeks, episode 30, The Great Messaging Wars. Tonight I got Wayne Sutton and Caleb Elston as we sit and talk all about messaging across the way. Here we're off and running. I think we're ready. It's The Social Geeks, episode 30.
Oh my God.
Episode 30. It really is. I'm looking at it live. Caleb has joined us from the West Coast. Caleb, sir.
Hello. Welcome back.
Welcome back as always. And unbelievably, we scanned a code in our phone and up popped Wayne Sutton.
Hello, world.
Are you still doing Movember, Wayne, by the way? I just want to ask now.
No. It ended yesterday.
Did you shave?
Yeah. Off? No. Actually, I'm trying to get back to normal. You know, when I had to shave everything off November 1st, that was like scary for me. So I'm trying to get back to normal now.
So everyone knows. Are you still collecting money, though?
No, I think everything. And we came in fourth place.
Fourth place.
But raised over $22,000 for men's health in the month of November.
As everybody knows, part of this was going on when I was over in Ireland a few weeks ago. So people were growing facial hair everywhere, giant mustaches and stuff in support of men's health. So you can still donate. There's no reason people can't still donate to the cause. Right?
There you go.
True.
Hey, it's Movember. It's for men's health. So they were doing focusing on one of the cancers over there in Ireland. Was one of their big pushes. So while I was there. All right, this is big news. We are on top of it tonight. As always, The Social Geeks is here. Google finally comes out and someone leaks a name of their product. Now, let me get this right. It's been called two different names, right? Emerald City and Emerald Sea.
Yes.
And they're debating back and forth between the two. I believe, was it TechCrunch had one of the articles and so did someone else. So do you guys think this will ever show up even in 2011? So this is their social layer they've been talking about, but now it has a code name. Do you guys think this is even going to make an appearance? Either one of you?
I think so. You know, you said 2011. I believe it's coming 2011. I would love to have seen it, you know, this year because, you know, some of us have been waiting on Google to add a social layer to the products, you know, forever. And I really don't think it's that hard for them. Just a matter of just mashing up Google Reader, take what they've done with Buzz, tie it in with Gmail, and boom. Add some, you know, more community aspects to it, and they got a good, nice, you know, social network going.
Well, remember they built you a dashboard. What was it, a year ago? They gave you the Google dashboard to let you see all of your services you have connected through Google, all the access it has, what applications have, but they've never really interconnected all their properties with one layer across them all. And they've got the big bad Facebook beast, which we'll talk about the new messages in a bit. But they've got that beating down their door in terms of, you know, the email side, but they already have the social layer. So does Google need to do the social layer to stay in the game?
Yes.
Don't start this stuff again. We are channeling Jeff as a geek with those answers. All right. So why?
So there's a couple things. So there, I've heard two conflicting things. I've heard that they have this social layer piece that is a group has been building that is being integrated into all of the products, and all the products will slowly roll out with this sort of new social glue. And then I've also heard reports that there is an actual separate social network that's very, very beautifully designed and is currently in testing, which was what people were calling Google Me, and that there's actually two sort of projects going on. And so it's a little interesting seeing this today because this is a little conflicting with the idea of that independent site. And the idea of that other site was that you would add these like topics of interest, and then you would sort of discover people around those topics of interest, which would be more like Twitter than Facebook. And so I've heard about both of these projects. However, the news today is about this social layer. I think the social layer will probably be utilized by a few percent of the people who use the Google products. I think that because it will just be sort of tacked on, unless they're redesigning these products from the ground up, it's very challenging just to add social to an existing product, as a lot of big companies have sort of found it doesn't work so well. And so I have much more interest in what Google's independent project is. However, it may just be too late.
So Caleb, you think it's going to be, boom, here's a new URL, log in with your Google account, and then you have the option to connect your other services into it, basically opt in, and then, you know, basically maybe add some search, add some widgets, and then you know, pull in the content like you mentioned, you know, from your friends and your contacts, versus like they did with Buzz and Boom, add a social layer to existing product like a Google Reader.
I think they will do both, and that the independent product will be much more about saying, I'm into, you know, alpine skiing, and here's a whole bunch of interesting stuff around it, much more like a Facebook page, and you will be connected to all these pages, and they'll algorithmically be suggestions for you based on other things you like, and you will also find out other people who care about that. So sort of more of a connection between the Quora sort of topics and Twitter interests, and that it's a very, very well-designed independent project, and that it's currently in testing.
So do you see it integrating back into, of course, mail, into search, into their advertising, everywhere that you go across the property? I mean, you got to think about it. Even pulling in social information from the blogs, who you're connected to and who you see, is a huge step that they have access to that they've never tapped into.
Yeah, that you will be able to basically like anything. I think they're planning to call it something like plus one or something.
It's okay.
Yeah, well, like, I think the code name is plus one, because that's what they're calling this action. Instead of saying friend someone or follow them, you plus one everything, which means like you're adding yourself to this thing, this group, this interest. It's not clear exactly to me yet which, like, what the, how they're going to define it, but I have heard that the term plus one. And so plus one could be everywhere. You could plus one someone you find in Gmail. You could plus one some article or interest you find or tag in Google Reader and all these other places.
Google Docs, even, you know, documents themselves.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to integrate it into their productivity suite. I guess I just don't, like, I don't really understand how it's all going to work, because, like, this idea of saying we're going to make things social is easy to say, but, like, what's the next 10 words over, like, what that means? Because I don't know exactly how you make, like, Google Images or Google, like, Picasa so much better, because they don't have the friend infrastructure, right? Like, the exciting thing about Facebook Photos is not the organization of photos, it's that your friends are tagged in it. And not only that, but like, Picasa is about browsing other people's photos or browsing your own photos. On Facebook, I don't really go into like the photo app and then just browse around like everyone's photos. I normally get the photos based on something in a news feed or a wall. And so many of these pieces of sort of these objects you care about, like the photos or documents, are more about like the context rather than like generally exploring photos or documents. So I don't know what the main view will be for that. And I think that's why they're going to have this independent product as well, because they need some hub for you to go to try and reconnect with all these other pieces. Because I think they realize that just having these extra features on top of other core products like maps or videos or whatever is not super useful. It doesn't actually work that well.
Do people understand, I mean, those for our listeners, a lot of them, you know, on the geeky side probably, but the depth of the integration that Google has across the products. If you go to google.com/dashboard and everyone logs in with your main Google ID, if you have multiple, whatever, it'll give you a list and so much information about all your history, all your circles, your profiles, your albums, from Latitude to Groups to Friend Connect to FeedBurner to, I mean, it just goes on. Your books that Google Books has, it goes on and on and on. And I don't think people realize the depth. You know, they say, oh yeah, Google knows everything. Not just they know everything, you provide them a lot of tertiary information that a lot of people never think about. Just simply a book that you download in Google Books then gives the ability to hook you to a possible community, a sales ad, blogs that you should read that talk about these type of topics. People, I don't think people get the depth of that.
Yeah, and I don't think Google has done a good job of presenting that, right? And that's the point, right? Like, that's how Facebook, like the Facebook news feed is just what you're talking about, right? It's a something that people can understand.
Yep.
Pulling in all this information that people around you and things that you care about are actively doing. And Google doesn't have a way to currently present that to you. They tried it with Buzz and Gmail, because that's sort of a list of information that's always updating, right? Like your email, if you think about in a very primitive way.
Right.
And yet people were just so pissed off that like their email was being intruded on. So they need something independent.
Even though it is every day.
Yeah, exactly. Like what, I don't know, like it clearly was not what people were expecting. And so they need to give people a place where they can expect this information to come in. And it might be really, really cool to see like what people who are my contacts are like, what documents they're creating that are public and what videos they're adding and what Picasa photos and things they're doing. And from that sort of dashboard, you say upload a photo and it sort of does this little Ajax uploader right in that sort of view. But what it's really doing is sending it to Picasa, right? Like they have the infrastructure to have documents, to have photos, to have messages, all these things they have. And so they don't have to rebuild those infrastructures and they already have the account systems connected, as you said. And so what they could do is actually build a nice layer on top of that for exposing all this information and letting you put it in. And then you're instantly a Picasa user, even though you don't have to go to Picasa, right? That's sort of the really interesting thing. That's how I could see it working is it's basically this view of it's just a news feed, right? And the same way that you can post all those things on Facebook, they're just shortcuts essentially to those core apps. Google has a lot of those core apps. They just don't have them all in one place.
Well, there's a couple of things with that, though, because we, you know, Chris, I think you opened a question as, you know, talking about is it too late for Google to add this? Because, you know, and I was just thinking about, we're talking about our dashboards and so forth. There's a couple, you know, aspects that go with the whole thing. I mean, and Google does have this, you know, whole other site out there, social network, what is it called, Orkut?
Orkut is the, huge, down south,
yeah.
Huge.
Yeah, I mean, they have that floating out there that they're testing around playing with, but... You know, a lot of people saying, you know, they don't want another social network from individuals because, like, Facebook has everybody there. Then, like, from brands and agencies and so forth, they're like, you know, they don't want to something else to manage. And then still Google could build something, you know, everything into analytics if they want to. But then, Caleb, you said a couple of times about how, like, it's a beautiful interface. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to be a nice, simple, clean, usable interface that doesn't freak people out about privacy and who owns the data, like, you know, there's the fears over Facebook. And with Facebook is slowly trying to change that with, say, oh, you can download this, you can export that now. But, you know, there's certain people in certain communities, like, Google is worse than Facebook when it in terms of privacy and security because, like, you know, Chris, you mentioned, they know everything about you. I've seen it where people, you know, have a conversation or get into an argument. You know, they say they got an argument with their wife about some issues and it went back and forth in Gmail. Then there was ads on the side saying about divorce lawyer.
Right.
And it was like, I'm never using Gmail again. But Google has all this data on it. So it's like if they build this nice, clean, simple interface, this nice new social layer linking all of their products, it has to be done right. You know, it has to be, you know, made clear about how pieces are working so it doesn't start freaking people out saying Google has all this data on me. They are the, what's the Terminator word? What's the people from the Terminator that own everything?
Oh, the Skynet.
Skynet. Yeah. That Google's not, you know, Skynet. And this is another way for them to get more access to your data and not just connect with you with your friends and share information.
Well, so go tangent to the whole thing. Forget who the provider is. Is it about the initial privacy controls that basically everything is an opt-in? Is that the big problem with all the networks that these guys are having? Is it's not opt-in? Facebook presumes, Google presumed when they went through Buzz. Everyone presumes. So do you think opt-in is the choice?
I think it should be.
Yeah.
I think you should see a page that has, when you first join, that has all of the Google services that this thing connects with and integrates with. And they have this sort of view that shows the logo of the service, some of your recent information, like some photos or document titles or whatever it's going to share. And you can click, yes, I want to include this in my Google Plus One or Google Me or Google whatever the hell it's going to be called group.
I hope it's not Plus One. That's
yeah. I've heard that name tossed around a few times.
How about just Plus? See. I would go with just Plus because it would go like, you know.
Google word. Plus. Just Plus it.
Just Plus just, it.
Yeah, just add it, whatever.
Buzz it, Plus yeah. it, like it, lick it, punch it. You know, pretty soon it'll be.
Whip it.
Do whatever you want to it.
Do whatever you want to it. All right, let's jump topics. I want to throw everybody off. I want to talk about this only because I'm curious. AOL news. Did you guys see this about AOL? That they bought Unblab? You guys know who they are? Now, you're laughing. You're laughing. this is a mainstay for them to stay alive, right? They want to keep people into their email systems. They bought a company that actually wrote code before called G-Triage. This company also wrote, Unblab wrote one called iTriage for mobile devices, but is like prioritization in your inbox for AOL messaging. They still have a large email usage base, even though people don't use the service as a dial-up. They kept their AOL mail accounts, and they want people to stay there instead of Google. Do you think this is like a hit and miss for them again? You guys are looking this up, aren't you?
No. I totally think it's...
It's called Project Phoenix. For those in the world that don't know, that's what they're trying to do, is redo their messaging infrastructure. They have an opportunity, and a lot of the older population on the internet still uses them. They need to understand that.
Well, it's one of the things where, an old tech company buys a rarely, unheard to a lot of people, startup, unless you like it in North Carolina or familiar with spots digital, buy them, and then you just realize that, like you just said, Chris, they have a lot of email users. They want to keep their users inside of the inbox, and they see what Google's done with Priority Mail. And so they were saying, well, we can, continue to keep users via email, then maybe we can, help target them to some of the other services that we still have going, within AOL company and the platform.
Even ads, right?
Yeah. So I think it's a good buy for them. Low risk buy for them. I think it's a win for everybody involved with the company. And, I don't think they lose anything, some pocket change for them probably, from buying the company, and it's a time we'll see.
Did you guys see the email that the company Unblab sent to its users of G-Triage, which is the integration that they had with Gmail? So it was a messaging and rule filter. It did a whole bunch of, things for your Gmail that before Priority Inbox was there. It was like common and user-specific rules. Well, they sent an email that said, our next line of our story, we've been bought by AOL. The next paragraph said, what does that mean for you, the G-Triage users? It was shut down as of last night, and if you're Gmail users, you're now stuck with Priority Inbox. Didn't even give an announcement it was going away. They just said, yeah, we turned it off, and good luck. We're going to AOL, so either come with us or, nothing else.
That shows a couple of things. It shows that either they did or did not have a lot of users, or mm-hmm. the users, because I haven't heard too many people complaining about it. And so, I just think, I think AOL bought the technology, so it was good technology, and said, hey, let's buy this and hire the talent as well for the programs developing it. So I think it's a low risk. It's kind of like, to me, it's kind of like Facebook buying, what was the company? The location base.
Hot Potato.
Right. Hot Potato. It's kind of like Facebook buying Hot Potato. Money and talent.
Not money and talent, because it's not necessarily for the service. It's like AOL buying these guys for the talent to stay alive. But it's a move, in a weird direction, in a very, very strange direction. That's when I saw it, I went...
For AOL?
Yeah, AOL, they're trying to relaunch email as their primary focus, because they really don't have much left. They're not a search portal. Everyone's bowed mm-hmm. down. They're not a search portal.
What's weird about that, though? Like, what's weird about them buying it, seems like?
Because... At this point, I think they're holding on to such a slim margin of they should be more of a media type company and provide that type of interface still, like, going after TechCrunch and stuff like that, being a media mm-hmm. interface. I don't think the mail users are sticking there, only because their name isn't synonymous anymore with internet service. You don't think of them with internet service anymore.
Netscape, I guess there has to be a better mail service. Like, it seems like there should be something, at least it's trying to compete with Gmail, right? Like,
sure.
And the other thing is the Phoenix group allowed you to now create different email addresses, so you don't have to just be AOL if you sort of feel like there's a stigma around that.
Alias, yeah.
Yeah, so if you are already using that and don't want to go through the hassle of switching, it seems like having a better interface is at least going to help keep you around a little longer. And so for AOL to spend couple million dollars to get some really good engineers and have some new energy in that team and sort of show off that they're trying to hire some good engineers, and maybe they'll eventually move them onto their publishing system. I don't know. They have so much money. It just seems like a generally okay thing and not surprising, since that's the only big tech project that they're actively trying to work on, right? Gmail is an app I spend hours in each day. Yep. So yep. Of any of the apps that they could work on, it seems like that's a good one. I guess that's just sort of my view.
And this is not the first time they've done this either. I mean, they basically, if you look at it, they empowered, they financially back in a weird sense of way, Simple Deal, because what did AOL buy before this? They bought Social Too, which is, Matt Gagelin and all those guys from that project from TechStars. And what are they doing with that?
Yeah, live stream or whatever it's called.
Live stream.
Yeah. So
do you guys want to see a good segue? You ready for this?
Go.
So after we have to do our ad, we'll talk about Facebook messaging. So we'll continue with the messaging stream.
Yes.
I know everyone's waiting for that one. But we have to do our ad because this company is, you guys can be quiet or join in, was kind enough to keep us alive for the next year to our Wayne wasn't on that episode due to our tens of thousands of downloads that we're running for the Social Geeks. Bandwidth and everything else costs money. So GoDaddy is stuck with us still, kind enough to stick around. So we have new codes as of the last episode for getting discounts with GoDaddy. And Wayne, you can use these too for all the domains that you register. Social G4, 10% off your order if you use that code when you check out. Helps us, of course. Social G5, if you're ordering $30 or more, it'll give you $5 off. Now go ahead and weigh the benefit, 10% off or $5 off of 30, whatever you want. Social G6 will get you a single domain at $7.49. And there's two new ones. Now, these are new. I played around with this. Social 201 will take 20% off any hosting plan. So if you're trying to podcast or trying to host or trying to get them to do some bandwidth for you or just loose files, Social 201 will get you 20% off. And Social SSL1 is their new SSL certs. So all those are in the show notes. We've talked about it before. I know I use GoDaddy. Caleb said he uses it. Wayne, you use GoDaddy?
Yes, sir.
You use
GoDaddy? I bought 50 domains registered from GoDaddy, and they will call you if your domain name is expired and you hadn't renewed it.
Right.
So good job, GoDaddy. Right. And they got a new GoDaddy girl.
Do they?
Well, Jillian. Jillian from Biggest Loser.
Excellent. So no more Dan and Patrick. Okay. That's fine.
I think Danica is still involved. Don't ask me how I know, but
Wayne has let us know he's on the homepage of GoDaddy quite often looking at videos. apparently, he doesn't just own domains. He just looks at domains all day long. So Social G4, 5, and 6, the two new ones, Hosting Plan and SSL, all the ads will be online. You'll be able to click through, use the codes. Keeps us talking to you as we grow even bigger. So Facebook messaging, did you guys get an invite yet?
No,